this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National alert.
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's a story from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. A 51-year-old woman was arrested for allegedly refusing to pay for a $26 seafood buffet there. Police arrived after employees said she'd been at the restaurant for hours and was disturbing other patrons. She allegedly refused to pay for her meal, saying she had no money. Officers said when the woman was asked, well, how did she plan to pay this in the first place? She told them that Jesus Christ would pay it for her. At that point, the woman was arrested and charged and taken to jail. They say this isn't the first time somebody tried to stick God with their restaurant bill. Last October, an Oklahoma woman told employees at a Mexican restaurant that her husband, Jesus, would be back soon, and he would produce the currency to pay for her bill, and she was also arrested and accused of defrauding a restaurant. Somewhere out there, I imagine Jesus is throwing up his hands saying, haven't I given you enough already? Really? You know, do I have to pick up your tab at the restaurant too?
I died on the cross for your sins.
It wasn't enough for some people. Well, you know what? Those are the kinds of strange stories that we talk about on this program, fittingly enough, called Speaking of Strange. We dig into all these weird things happening in the world. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Thanks for joining us. I'm the author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and the new Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Hey, bud. What's happening?
It has just been an action-packed experience here in Western North Carolina. Obviously, last weekend was the big Wishing Machine extravaganza. You made an appearance there.
I did, and I got to meet several people. I came in a little late, did not want to interrupt.
Well, that's...
I was in the lobby, as the Presbyterians would say, the narthex.
So what that means is the rest of your life is going to suck now, Sam.
Hey.
You didn't get the secrets of the universe revealed to you, but...
I sat in front of a table full of them. I think I picked up on some of it.
But well, no, the good news is, hey, even if you missed the program, all you have to do is read Use the Force, and that'll help you out. Right, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop? Right,
definitely.
You know, guys, we had our big wishing machine extravaganza, which was a huge hit. People came from all over the country. They absolutely loved it. And as a part of that day, we had a cocktail party. And so here I was at the bar of Olive or Twist, which is a locally owned establishment that I often frequent in downtown Asheville. And people were coming up to me and asking me to sign books. And lo and behold, a man who is a big fan of this show, I won't use his name without his explicit permission, but he walked up and he had this shiny metallic cover glinting in his hands, and believe it or not, it was the first time that I had ever actually seen a copy of my own new book, Use the Force. For one thing, I travel a lot, and you never know what the best shipping address is going to be for me, so I don't know where my supposed author copies are, but the very first time I got to see this book was when he walked up and had it in his hands. It turned out great. It truly is a beautiful book. I mean, everybody who sees it just goes, wow, because, you know, that the metallic cover really pops.
I have to say, I thought the nudes were tastefully done as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I try. I use the force on those as well. And so I got to sign his book as the very first one ever, and now I'm holding in my hands the second copy I've seen, which was brought into the studio tonight by Investigator Shelley Wright. So eventually, hopefully I can get a copy of this. But the point is that I told people long ago, if you go to Amazon.com and you buy a copy, then you can get some special pre-release, copies. And, the book doesn't officially come out until August 1st. As a matter of fact, August 1st, which is next Saturday, we plan to do a very special edition of this program related to the book. But, you know, Shelley, again, I have your copy in my hands, and if you open it up and you go past the title pages and you go to the copyright page, you see here some numbers, 10987654321. And for those listening who may not know, if you want to determine whether or not a book is a first printing, you look for those numbers. And whatever the number is on the right, the farthest to the right, tells you the printing of the book. So this is a true first printing, first edition run.
May I see where that is?
Sure.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Because it goes all the way down to the number one. So
right here.
Yep, those numbers right there, that list of numbers.
And for those on the radio, that made, it's like right here. Check. Okay.
The webcam is off. So that is... part of a limited selection. I don't know how many books were in the first printing, but that only happens once ever in all of human history. And so this will end up being the second copy of Use the Force that I will be signing later.
Oh,
I might
Shelley.
Even I might even include some of my DNA. Would you like that? I could lick it, perhaps.
Isn't Mrs. Warren coming back into the studio?
She's not here right now. I've often wondered, what if you, as an author, withdrew some of your blood? I know that this kind of thing has been done, like Kiss, for example, and signed with your blood or your saliva or some other bodily fluid, because then when DNA analysis is so common that anybody can do it with their cell phone, because that'll happen one day, well, then there's no doubt about the authenticity of the signature. You don't have to worry about somebody comparing pictures like you see on Pawn Stars, for example. You're like, okay, that's his DNA. This is real. Because I always think, wouldn't it suck if you had a real signature there? And the analyst just didn't think it looked quite right because, you know, the person who signed it was having a weird day or was drunk or on some kind of drug, whatever. So sometimes people probably get a raw deal because they have an authentic photo, but it can't be proven conclusively. Well, that would be one way to do it.
Did you ever see this article that came out like 2 months ago? Speaking of printing things in fluids, it was a magazine. In the LGBT community, San Francisco, the Vanguardist, seeking to draw attention to HIV and AIDS with a provocative cover printed with ink containing HIV-positive blood.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's hardcore.
It's a special edition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that will definitely get some headlines and some attention, all right. Well, you know, interestingly enough, that kind of provides a nice segue into health in general, which brings me to something I'm really excited about. One of my great friends is a man named Dean Worsing. He's not only my friend, he's also your friend, Shelley.
Yes.
And Dean and I have had many adventures over the years. We've been in the field, I can't even count the number of times. He has been on the History Channel with me.
That's where I probably saw the...
Yeah, he was on the Superhumans with the Grandmaster Tom Cameron. Dean was on that.
Doesn't he have another show as well?
Well, Dean worked with me and Shelley on the Warner Brothers project, The Apparition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably forgetting some stuff, but Dean is one of the best paranormal investigators out there. He also specializes in third-gen night vision technology. So he's always getting just phenomenal UFO footage. He's gotten great footage of the Brown Mountain Lights. And the cool thing about Dean is that he has a background in the electrical industry. He's a very practical man. He's a fella who straps on a tool belt from time to time. And so he takes that kind of approach to everything he's researching. Well, I got to see Dean, I guess, was it earlier this year? Yeah, I suppose it was. He came down to Puerto Rico and visited me and Lauren down there, along with his beautiful wife, Anne. And, you know, Dean, it's like the older he gets, the healthier he looks. He's looking slim, and he's got all kinds of energy. And that's because Dean is what I call a perpetual student of human wellness. And so the other day I was talking to him, and he says, Josh, I have got some breakthroughs that everybody needs to hear about. He said, I have a presentation I want to give, some secrets, some things that I've dug deep to discover about how you can transform your life when it comes to your health. I said, well, I'd love to have you come on the show and share that with the listeners. And he said, it would be my pleasure. I feel almost obligated to do this, to share this information. And so believe it or not, he is going to come on hour number two, and we're going to talk about what he calls paranormal health care. Okay. So I still don't know what we're going to talk about exactly. He did send me some notes, but I haven't read them. Because I've been waiting to just get him on the air and have a very natural conversation so that I'm learning this at the same time all of you are. So I'm pretty excited about it. I know that he is living proof of the things he's going to talk about. So that's coming up hour number two. We got to take a break. When we come back, get a load of this. It looks like, folks, that one of these ships that disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle 90 years ago has reappeared. Yeah, yeah. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about that. And also, a really creepy story that was just sent to me a couple days ago by a police officer. Directly from the police officer to me. This is maybe some Mothman kind of stuff. So we're going to dig into all that and a lot more. You picked a good night to listen to this program, my friends. It's presented by Wright's Coin Shop. It's a place where you can go to turn your money into more money. And we're going to dig into things that are going to just make your head spin tonight on Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back.
My hands are clean. My heart is so pure. The world is sick. I am the cure. I don't want to...
Brother bought a coconut, he bought it for the diamond. Sister had another one, she paid it for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she called the doctor, woke him up and said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, to relieve his belly ache. I said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor.
doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, doctor, to relieve his bellyache. I said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, doctor, to relieve his bellyache. You put the lime in the coconut, you drink them both together. Put the lime in the coconut and you feel better. Put the lime in the coconut, drink them both up. Put the lime in the coconut and call me in the morning.
Broadcasting from the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange, brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop. You know, the number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. And if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop. You'll find a live chat during the show. You'll find all kinds of links to topics that we discuss here. And I hope that you will go to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P. joshuapwarren.com to learn more about my new book that officially comes out next Saturday. It's called Use the Force. And also, if you click the news section at joshuapwarren.com, you can see my appearance on ABC 13 WLOS that I did recently there with Holly Hedrick and Jay Siltzer about the wishing machine. And you'll find information on all the upcoming stuff that I'm going to be doing for now listed. For example, I'll be speaking at the Michigan Paracon 6 in August. That's in Sault Ste. Marie. And we're going to try to manifest a UFO at that event using wishing machines. That's going to be a cool experiment. And if you're looking for a fun thing to do this January to get away from the cold, well, I have been hired to be one of the speakers at the big conspiracy cruise. It leaves from Los Angeles, and we're going to cruise down through the Mexican Riviera. All that information, again, at the news section of joshuapwarren.com. So, yeah, when we're here, we are talking about cruising. And I actually, when I speak at the Michigan Paracon August 8th, I'm going to be giving a whole presentation about the Bermuda Triangle. Now, Shelley, you've been through the Bermuda Triangle a few times.
Oh, yes.
You ever been down there, Sam?
No, but I'm fascinated by the place.
Yeah. Well, I read this story, and I thought, oh, my goodness. Do you remember, Sam, in the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, how it kind of starts out, and one day these five Navy Avenger bombers appear?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they reappear. They were lost in the Bermuda Triangle in 1945, and Close Encounters starts out with them coming back.
That's the one where, in real life, not in the movie, where they were running low on fuel, and they got turned around or whatever in the last. Didn't they send out, like, more guys?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. There were about, I think, maybe 13 people that were spread throughout five of these bombers. They sent a distress call saying, everything looks weird. Even the ocean doesn't look as it should. And it was a simple training flight. They were supposed to go from Fort Lauderdale to the Bahamas and back or something like that. And so they get this bizarre transmission, and then they disappeared. And so after that, the Navy sent out a large airplane full of men to rescue them, and it also vanished.
Yeah.
So to this day, we have no idea what happened to those planes. So they used that to kind of kick off the tone for Close Encounters. And now here we have this story that appears to be a legitimate news story. Headline, Bermuda Triangle, ship reappears 90 years after going missing. The Cuban Coast Guard had announced they had intercepted an unmanned ship heading for the island, which they presumed to be the SS Cotopaxi. That's a steamer that vanished in December of 1925 and has since been connected to the legend of the Bermuda Triangle. The Cuban authorities say they spotted this ship near a restricted military zone west of Havana. They tried to communicate with the crew, but they got no response. Finally, they mobilized three patrol boats to go out there and intercept it. When they reached it, they were surprised to find the ship was actually the nearly 100-year-old steamer identified as the Cotopaxi, a name famously associated with the legend. There was no one on board the ship. It seemed to have been abandoned for decades. And they did an exhaustive search of the ship, which led to the discovery of the captain's logbook. It was indeed associated with the Clinchfield Navigation Company. Those were the owners of the SS Cotopaxi. But it did not give any clue concerning what happened to the ship over the last 90 years. Apparently, they say the 29th of November, 1925, this ship departed Charleston, South Carolina, heading toward Cuba. It had a crew of 32 men under the command of Captain W.J. Meyer and was carrying a cargo of over 2,000 tons of coal. It was reported missing 2 days later and was never heard of again, heard from again, until just recently, after 90 years. So they quote here one of the ministers at the vice council there in Cuba saying, quote, "It is very important for us to understand what happened. Such incidents could be bad for our economy." End quote. You know, they're still trying to figure out how to deal with this newfound tourism they're going to start receiving there in Cuba, I guess. So what are the chances that after 90 years that thing could just be floating around out there through all these hurricanes, all these storms? It doesn't seem like it has been, does it?
No, it seems like it just went somewhere and then just kind of popped back out.
Yep.
What is your theory, Shelley, on the Bermuda Triangle? Do you think it's an Incan power plant?
I hadn't thought about it that way before, but that is possible. You know, Joshua's got a story years before he met me. You were in the Bermuda Triangle with some other investigators. They were on a boat. He had some really, really strange things happening. He's lucky to be here now.
Yeah, we were out there, I mean, truly in the middle of it, on the ocean. And one of our compasses started spinning, which I'd never seen before. And that's something that even Columbus had complained about in 1490. I think it was either 2 or 3. He did a voyage in 92 and 93.
World tour.
Yeah. And but he had the compass going haywire, and he saw a strange light at sea. We had a very similar experience, because right around the time that the compass was spinning, there was a light that appeared out on the horizon. And it didn't have any of the typical patterns that a maritime vessel should have. And I actually got somebody from the captain's cabin there to look at it and confirm whether or not that was a ship. And they said they had no data regarding that being a ship, and they didn't know what it was either.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like on bigger seagoing vessels or whatever, I forget the acronym, but on your radar you can pull up. You know, if you see a ship, you can click on it. It'll show you, like, where it's registered out of, the size and all that, you know.
Yeah.
So you can see other boats. And yeah. What do you think it is? I mean, like, it's obviously some surge of, there must be some surge of electricity or some form of, something's obviously messing with the compasses, which should be the first thing to look at, I think.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, I have always felt that in the same way we have atmospheric weather, we also have dimensional weather, meaning that we don't even understand how to predict the weather properly yet, much less what dimensions are.
Especially around here.
Yeah. And that it could be there are areas of Earth where from time to time, maybe due to some cosmic flux or maybe it's something geologic, You have warp type phenomenon, and it interferes with time and space. And that is even more of a realistic concept than it was just 50 years ago. That maybe this ship disappeared yesterday from their point of view, and it reappeared today. But that's been 90 years in between, and but the humans just didn't make it. And in fact, there's a long history of stories about that. And in fact, when we come back, I'll tell you one more story about the Bermuda Triangle. But if you want to hear something really weird, I actually have the series of emails here in front of me that I received just a few days ago from a police officer, and I can't figure out what this guy saw. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Can't keep my eyes from the circling sky. Tongue-tied and twisted, just an earthbound distance. Started slow, as if to let you know, no other way to get it, no other way to go. You see them living dreams as they pretend to be. Bad mistake.
Becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you'll find a link to Wright's at speakingofstrange.com. Also, some information there on my new book, Use the Force, which officially comes out next Saturday, but people who have ordered online are already getting some pre-release copies. There are even some reviews up already. There are two reviews on Amazon. Actually, there are three reviews that I've seen, one on Barnes & Noble, two on Amazon. All of them are five-star reviews. And one of the reviews is titled, The Most Important Book to Read in 2015. The other one calls the book a life changer. And the one at BarnesandNoble.com says, it's like having your own personal training session with Yoda. So thus far, it's been just a wonderful reception, and so I hope that you'll check it out, and you'll see why that, for one thing, it was such a difficult book to write, because I had to dig so deep into so many different perspectives on life and reality, but what a wonderful thing it is to have it out there now. And, you know, we've been talking about just how weird reality can get, as usual, and I mentioned that in the Bermuda Triangle, there is a history that goes back hundreds of years regarding people having these odd sort of time slips and kind of time-space experiences that are uncommon. You know, there are three points of the so-called Bermuda Triangle. There's Miami, Florida. There's the island of Bermuda. And then there's Puerto Rico. And frequently when I am showing people around Puerto Rico, I take them to a fort in Old San Juan called San Cristobal. And there is a spot there that I kind of consider the point of the Bermuda Triangle. It's called La Garita del Diablo. And it is a guard box that juts way out into the ocean. It's atop a rocky structure, and you have all of these powerful waves that are crashing in around it. It's a very dramatic spot. And apparently, back in the 1700s, if you got the real crap duty, that meant that you had to go out and stand guard at that point all night. And the reason it was called La Garita del Diablo, or the Devil's Guard Box, is that frequently men would go out there and they would vanish. In the middle of the night, they would disappear. And there were a handful of men who made it out, so to speak, who came back to tell the tale of what happened. And they all said the same kind of thing. They'd be out there in the middle of the night. Suddenly, the ocean would begin to look very strange. And they would see something like a greenish, glowing, slightly metallic fog start rolling in from the sea. And at that point, they hightailed it out of there. If they'd stuck around, they would have probably vanished. So it may be that when this kind of interdimensional weather is occurring, as I talked about, that it's accompanied by some kind of electrical ionization or something similar, like this fog is sort of a byproduct of what's about to happen. And pilots have described seeing similar things as well. Before their airplanes went through some kind of a time slip. So it's going to be really interesting as we dig deeper and deeper into this particular story to sort of find out what the facts are. But, you know, it's easy for us to try to break down paranormal phenomena into ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, psychic stuff, but I really have always loved those things that blur the lines. And that's because that usually when someone experiences the paranormal, he or she doesn't realize they're experiencing the paranormal while it's happening. All they know is there's something very disorienting and strange occurring that doesn't fit their expectations of what was going to happen that day. And I'm always impressed when I get contacted by a person of authority who says, look, here is my experience. This is what happened to me. And so I was contacted by a local police officer just days ago here in Western North Carolina. I will not give his name out. But I've actually known him for years. And this is an incident that occurred at Weaver Park. Isn't Weaver Park the one that's off of Merriman Avenue?
Yeah, it's got the mm-hmm. tennis courts right there.
Okay. It's kind of back behind Luella's Barbecue mm-hmm. in that area. Yeah. All right.
Right.
So he wrote me the night this happened. And I have his email in front of me. And I'm just going to do my best to describe what he has written here. You could tell he was pretty excited and weirded out when he wrote this. He says, Weaver Park, tonight at 11 p.m., I conversed with a man about his female companion that had gone missing. He says he left her sitting on the bridge crossing the stream while he went to the BP to get some snacks. He returned and could not locate her, but she left her tote bag and other belongings there. I told him to stand by while I would go to secure the restrooms and check inside them. And then he says, suddenly, something very large appeared in the treetops, way up high in the canopy and jumping from tree to tree.
What?
He said, I never got a clear visual of it, but the trees were rocking back and forth as if a gorilla were up there. The guy came running over to where I was, trying to shine my flashlight up in the trees, and we could still hear this thing maneuvering quickly away from the light beam. And he said to me, did you hear it hiss when it was down there, pointing toward a thicket in the creek? And I said, I didn't know what we were listening to. The guy said, this is kind of spooky. He says, I was still trying to spot the thing, but I never got a full visual. It was very large from the noise it made. He goes on to say, I have bear hunted and coon hunted, but never had any of those ever make the kind of commotion in the canopy that this thing did. And his female friend was not around anywhere. We never located her. But whatever was in those trees was up to 60 feet up. So I wrote him back, of course, and said, wow, this is crazy. I have no idea what this may have been. I said, with your permission, I'll talk about it on my radio program to see if other people have had experiences in the area. And he said, go right ahead. And then he wrote, my hair-raising thoughts were of Mothman. And he said, you know, I'm going to follow up on this and keep you updated. So, folks, once again, just to summarize, if you are just tuning in, I'm putting a plea out there if anybody has more information. This police officer, whom I know, contacted me and said a few days ago he was at Weaver Park off of Merriman Avenue. He was there because a man was with a female companion who just vanished. And they're looking around trying to find her, and all of a sudden some kind of a very large creature appeared high up in the canopy of the trees, swinging from tree to tree. He said it sounded like it had to be as big as a gorilla. And it was just a hair-raising experience, he says. So I don't know what to tell him. They still have not found this woman. And if anybody listening to this program has any idea what's going on, there are a lot of people who would like to hear about it. So, again, you can go to either speakingofstrange.com, or easiest thing is just to go straight to joshuapwarren.com and send me an email.
Well, okay, as the resident skeptic, is there anything on the record about this? You would assume that an officer of the law would have called in for some form of backup for, you know, a predator-like invisible canopy-dwelling, you know, marmoth.
Marmoth?
I don't know. But, like, something that's that big that it's making trees move and that there's a human being missing.
Yes.
Instead of just being, like, emailing you. No offense to you. Well, but, like, it seems like there's other channels that we might have should have gone through first before we emailed Josh at speakingofstrange.com.
I'm sure that that's being done.
Is there anything written up about it? Or?
Well, so far, all I have seen is, you know, the correspondence directly between him and myself. But I'm imagining that to whatever extent these kinds of things are required to become public record.
Because that would seem to be a huge hazard to the health, or, like, you know, that's a public safety issue, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A creature the size of a gorilla swinging.
on Merriman?
On Merriman Avenue, yeah. You know, when a woman has gone missing, it's like King Kong has abducted this woman.
Right. I think, you know, we need to know
if
this is happening, because this could affect some pickup ball games down at the park.
Well, I will say, I'm sure he can tell the difference, but, you know, there are bears that have been seen in that neighborhood, even as close as Fenner Avenue, right across the street. So,
but could a bear take, in that short amount of time, take a human without the screaming and escape with it?
That's true.
Maul
That's
it,
true.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I'm just putting it out there people who say, hey, it might be a bear. Well, it might be, but it may not be. And I am sure that this officer can tell the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would assume, you know, I mean, he is an officer of the law. They have training.
Yeah, he is. He's the real deal. Like I say, I know the guy. I've known him for years. You know, he's a uniform-wearing, badge-wielding, gun-toting officer of the law. So, okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will be in the final segment of hour number one. And I have a little surprise in store for all of you. A very special guest has made a trip to share the rest of the evening right here in the studio with us tonight. And don't forget, coming up hour number two, we also have another great friend of mine, Mr. Dean Worsing, who's going to join us by telephone and tell us about what he has discovered regarding what he calls paranormal health care. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. Write that down, 828-298-5402. And speaking of strange, we'll be right back.
You hardly ever saw Granddaddy down here. He only come a town about twice a year.
First things first, I'm a craftsman. Remodeling is my only passion.
It's my passion.
And I'm the greatest in the business. Want referrals, yo? My clientele will bear you witness.
Right, right.
I can help when your door jam sticks.
Huh?
There is nothing in the world I can't fix.
Yeah.
I do tiles, I do stone, I do bricks. Call me, I'll come rushing over with my bag of tricks.
Bag of tricks.
Where you go when your disposal is rusted?
Rusted.
Termite problem making you disgusted.
Yeah.
When your front window is busted.
Hey.
just one name that's always trusted.
I'm so handy. You already know I'll fix your plumbing when your toilets overflow. I'm so handy. But bring your up-to-date code when your dishwasher's about to explode.
Now you see that your furnace is needing some service. I'm fully bonded, no need to be nervous. Perhaps you would like a new counter for Micah. Maybe I'll hook up this here combo washer dryer. Your water pressure's too weak. You got an attic full of dry rot cause your roof sprung a leak. Your fridge is starting to reek. Your hardwood floor's really squeak. But don't you worry, I'll just show you my amazing technique. Now let me glue that, and screw that, screw that. Any random chore you got, well I can do that. Or maybe I'll just rewire your house for fun. I got 99 problems, but a switch ain't one.
I'm so handy.
Yeah, in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, I'm Joshua P. Warren, and next hour, Dean Worsing will be joining us, and he's going to break some news that should make your life a lot better. I'm excited to hear about it as well. I'm so fortunate, though, because, Dean is a great friend, and I'm also surrounded here in the studio by great friends. And I could not be more excited than to tell you that a tall drink of water just entered the studio. And he is a guy who has been on this program a number of times. He, I believe it's safe to say, is an expert on the interrelationship of all things. And I consider him to be the Sherlock Holmes of historians, Mr. Vance Pollock. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, Josh. Good to see you, man. It's been a while.
We've both been busy. We've been crossing paths, and I know the last time that you were on Speaking of Strange, I was hosting from Puerto Rico.
Right.
So it's great to be back here in the flesh, in the studio. What have you been up to?
The usual. The rock and roll stuff, man. Totally lost it there. We were just talking about Doug Clark and the Hot Nuts, who I can't really cite a whole lot of lyrics here. But, those kind of guys that frequented the Carolina, dance club circuit in the 1960s because, Bucky Hanks kind of got me started in this a couple of years ago because he played in a local Asheville garage band, which is loosely what they called all these high school kids that had rock and roll bands. After they saw the Beatles on television, they said, hey, we can do that. So there was like this swath of young kids starting rock bands to attract girls. And it's an interesting history because quite a number of those groups produced records that have not been comped. You can't even find them on YouTube or, so there's 40 years, 50 years of history that we've got to wade through to find some of these great rock and roll songs, great local rock and roll songs.
Let's say Vance has got a record collection that is enviable.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, for those who don't realize this, now, Vance, you are the chief historian of the Asheville Mystery Museum, so you're always out there digging through files. You're in dusty old attics and basements and cemeteries, and it seems like that you have this great knack for just finding whatever you're looking for, and that it works wonderfully when we're investigating mysteries and the paranormal, but you have applied this to your work finding these hidden gems related to the more, I guess, often local music scene. Tell everybody a little bit first about your show and how they can listen to it.
Sure. I do it for local community radio here in Asheville, Asheville FM 103.3. It's a low-power station, WSFM Asheville. Just got on the air a couple months ago, but it's been internet only for 5 or 6 years now. People can check it out at ashevillefm.org. And if they pull down that little drop-down menu at the top listing all the shows, mine is Riffin, R-I-F-F-I-N, no G, Riffin, apostrophe. As in, let's just get on here and talk music. you know, on the fly. And I get a lot of good guests in there who are just music lovers. I don't have any musical talent myself, so I really have plenty of appreciation to pour into it because I can't get up there on stage and make music myself. I talk to a lot of these guys that say, yeah, I never got to see those bands because we were always playing. But as just a music fan, I can say that I've spent a lot of years just sitting back and listening.
So now we've got about a minute before our next break. Tell us as quickly as you can, what is one thing you've discovered here that surprised you most when you started researching all these things?
Well, that some of these songs recorded nearly 50 years ago have a second life, you know, because now folks like Jack White, and you know, there are a lot of indie labels and everything like that, and modern artists who are inspired by this raw, you know, 60s garage sound, and you'll find that songs that have been, you know, buried for 40 or 50 years are taking on a new life. For example, Greenville, South Carolina group The Roots in 1965, lead guitarist songwriter Rudy Wyatt did a tune called "It's Been a Long Journey." A few years ago, Los Angeles group A La La's discovered that song on a compilation record, revived it, and wrote a new version of it. And so it's got a life, a new life, 50 years later.
All right, cool. Well, folks, Vance is going to stick around with us the rest of the night, and I can't tell you how excited I am to have his perspective on the Dark 30 stories this evening. And when we come back, yes, Dean Worsing will join us. He also has been on the show a number of times, but you've only heard him talk about UFOs and spooky things. But, well, now he's going to talk about something he calls paranormal healthcare, things he has discovered that he just feels like he needs to share with all of you. The program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and speaking of strange, we'll be right back.